Hello and welcome to the second part of our special edition of Conversations on the Avenue. I'm Arslan Mohammed, and in this episode, we meet the founder of Al-Sakal Avenue himself, Abdulmonem bin Isa Al-Sakal. The Emirati art patron and scion of the Al-Sakal family, Abdulmonem transformed the district, on which his family had previously run a marble factory, into the purpose-built cluster of architect-design warehouses that are now home to a diverse and exciting family of artists, creative businesses, galleries, museums, and much more across a massive site. Under his direction, the site underwent a massive boost in 2015, with an expansion that saw the avenue blossom into a 500,000 square foot site, anchored by the imposing granite edifice of Concrete, a multi-purpose art centre designed by Rem Koolhaas at the heart of the avenue, surrounded by an abundance of creative and cultural business and startups. In seeking to fulfil his vision for Al-Sakal Avenue as a home for creative industries, Abdulmonem Al-Sakal today heads a fully-fledged arts organisation with a year-round programme of events, exhibitions and happenings that unite and support the numerous entities at work in the district. The day-to-day running of the avenue is overseen by the energetic director, Vilma Yerkut, and her team, who manage to coordinate, inspire, initiate, and execute all manner of projects, plans, and processes, from exhibitions, artist residencies, international collaborations, talks, panel discussions, the Young Collectors Auctions, to Al-Sakal programming, which was launched in 2015, bringing unique commissions, talks, and screenings by emerging regional artists to the avenue. So, in order to understand deeper the mission and vision of the Al-Sakal Avenue brand, who better to hear from than Vilma Yerkut and Abdulmonem Al-Sakal themselves? In the following conversation, I sat down with the pair to discuss the past, present, and future of the project, and began by asking Abdulmonem to take me back to the distant past of the early 1990s and life before the avenue.
I came back from the States in 92, and it did not take many years till my father brought artists from Algeria, and he had them living in a villa, in one of our villas in Al Garhoud, where our artists in residence actually live now, but it's another complex next to that, not far from that. And those Algerians are living there since then. Their workshop for producing this ceramic is under my father's office.
Ah, okay. So your father, in fact, was the first one to bring artists over to Dubai.
That's my first recollection of artists in residence in Dubai.
And what was it like here? I only came to Dubai, I think, 2003. But in the 90s, what was there for artists in the region?
Well, there was very little of it. You always told me what fascinated me were the stories, and you would tell me how you used to come here as a child, and you would play in what used to be the old marble factory that belonged to your family, where we now built the expansion. You can illustrate that for us.
The image of what is Sheikh Zayed Road now, because it wasn't called Sheikh Zayed Road. It was a road that was higher than the rest of the area, slightly higher, okay? And Al-Ghoz area was, you just left the road and the marble factory was there. There is no any of those buildings that are between Al-Sakal Avenue, or what is now Al-Sakal Avenue, and Sheikh Zayed Road. And I could still see the sign that says National Marble and Tile Factory. And it had a showroom, a small showroom and offices. I come as a child and I see the creativity of the workers, that they carved animal-like statues, human-like statues, all made of the marble that was, I guess it was the marble that is extra. The extra marble that was from
all the
from
offcuts,
the production. And just see them being made into those statues, those sculptures, stayed in my mind.
And that's where we are now, really, isn't it? We're on the site of that former marble factory.
Yes.
So we were talking before about how Dubai was for galleries and for artists pre Al-Sakal. When was it that galleries first actually started moving into this district?
So this was an area that we decided the economy was booming. We decided that this will be warehouses. Okay? And I came here, I was kind of responsible with the contractor, the consultant that is going to develop this. I drove around and I saw a warehouse that attracted me. It was a warehouse that had a silver, not silver, matte silver entrance. And I knew that it was an art gallery, a warehouse that had, that left an impact, that left an effect on me.
Just the sight of it.
Just the sight of
it. It looked different from...
It looked different. Yeah. And it was an art gallery. And this idea started developing. Why don't we, in this project that we built, attract art galleries?
Because and what other businesses were here at that time? You had light industry, you had automotive...
In the beginning, we had a shop called Jeepers Creepers.
What was Jeepers Creepers?
Jeepers Creepers was a shop in Circle Avenue to modify Jeeps.
Of course, Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers, okay.
So it was basically like a car. Businesses. And...
But the idea started, I mean, it was communicated to the at the time, there was a real estate team that was in charge of Circle Avenue. This was communicated to Ayam Gallery. And Ayam Gallery came here. Hisham came first.
And before Khaled came.
Hisham came as an individual.
He brought Khaled. Really?
And thought, this is a good place to be,
right,
to have an art gallery.
I didn't know that.
And he said that he convinced Khaled. And Khaled came here and thought Hisham was crazy.
There's no way you're opening here.
Because obviously Khaled had set up Ayam in Syria at that point. Because I think he was running it from his office in Damascus. At that point,
I was in Damascus around 2008, and I was staying at the Four Seasons. And in the Four Seasons, you know how they put they always kind of put like the elite newspapers and magazines, and they had a catalog. If I remember right, either I don't remember clearly if it was a catalog or a cover on the backside of a magazine that said Ayam Gallery. And I related this to Ayam that was coming to a Circle Avenue. I'm not sure if it was already in a Circle Avenue at the time. I think they were. And I felt proud that something that I relate to, I see it in Damascus at the time.
Well, obviously, at the beginning, one of the main attractions of Al Circle Avenue, pre-Al Circle Avenue as it is, was space. And that's something that a lot of people have told me as well when I was talking to them the other day. Here you had space to really make something a proper gallery, you know, because it's very difficult to find that kind of real estate in the middle of the city. You know, you need a lot of space. But then we have Ayam, we had... who came in after Ayam? There was Ayam Gallery, then I think Isabel was already here with...
Isabel, I think, just came later. Followed.
She came later, right.
I think in 2009 or something similar. And then you had Carbon 12.
That was it, Carbon 12 came in.
Lori Shabibi.
I remember the first time I walked in Ayam, when they first opened. To me, this was the first impression of a white box, a white cube.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is how I want, not I want, but this is how I imagine other spaces in Circle Avenue to be. At this level of style, decoration, the style, the white cube style.
Obviously, that was afforded by this wonderful space you had, by the dimensions, which was a very big attraction. As you are saying now, when you walked into Ayam, you felt that this was really something good that was happening. When did it first occur to you to begin the expansion program?
The avenue started developing. Art gallery started moving in. Ayam Gallery, Carbon 12, Green Art, Isabel, not in the time, I mean, not in this chronicle order, but the place started developing, attracting art galleries, attracting creative businesses. This demand required the expansion. This demand asked for the expansion. it was natural that we expand to Circle Avenue.
But then did you realize at that point just how big it would be?
I think when Wilma, when did you join? 2000 and...
You tell me.
Well, how long have you been here? You've just always been around.
When you joined, 7 years ago is when?
So I think end of... So I moved to Dubai in 2011.
11.
Just in September. And I remember how I was looking up kind of the histories and the art scene in Dubai at the time. And I came to Al-Quds. And my partner was giving me a ride. And he's like, this must be wrong address. We are lost. I was like, no. I think this is the right address. I was like, just drop me off and let me wander around. And that's where I found all the galleries that I actually looked up online. Carbon 12, Gallery Isabel. None of them had El Circle Avenue as their address. So only when I arrived here, I realized that they actually are next to each other in the form of some sort of cluster. I could walk from one to the other. And there was something about the energy. There were incredible people here. They had their simultaneous openings. I felt like there was a place for me. That's when I made my decision to stay. Because before that, I was still unsure if Dubai was really a potential destination to be my home. And it's so incredible because I met Rami Farouk afterwards, and I started kind of meeting different people. And I met Ramin Salsali, who was actually about to open the very first private collection space. And that was really brave at the time. And when I met him, I said, listen, I know no one here. I just moved to Dubai. Let me help you to open the space. And so that I can develop my network and be part of this experience. And of course, Ramin, being the kind of, you know, charming character that he is, he's a risk taker. He's like, you want, just come in. Mm. So I opened my laptop and we just started working. And then we opened the space and that's how I met you. You came to the opening.
Came to the opening.
He said, Mr. Serkal is here. And you were the guest of honor.
I like something that Wilma always said. She said when she came here the first time, she knew something was developing.
Yeah.
She felt it.
Yeah.
She felt something was going on. And she came with that feeding and started this team and community that's led by her, that again led the expansion plan, that led to the expansion, that understood that there is demand already existing and had and developed, of course, together the vision of what Circle Avenue is going to be. It was something small that was happening, but it developed into what you just asking
about. Yeah, absolutely, because it's become so much more now than that original nucleus of galleries that you were discovering in 2011, 2012. I mean, today we have residency programs, we have the concrete area, there's, you know, shops, there's cafes, there's, you know, a year-round program of events. You do so much, and it's such a huge achievement to have brought it to this stage from that cluster of warehouses, really. And I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit about what motivated you to do things such as the residency program. Did you feel there was a real need in Dubai for something like this?
So I remember before the expansion, with then locals, we had numerous coffees and conversations. I remember speaking to Vivek Ubik.
One of the original gang, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was one of the original. And so I just went to the people that I thought were shaping that very energy we were talking about. Because I always say you cannot create that energy from scratch. There has to be something there. And then you can amplify it. And so I just had a lot of conversations and there was just a lot of listening. And that was the very beginning. Mm. And actually, Vivek and a few others were the ones that said, you know, artists have no place. Where do we create? Where that kind of art creation takes place? This is what we need.
It's true. And there was very little resources at that time for
artists. At that time, especially.
Yeah.
But for the residency to actually come to life took more than 6 years. Because really, we had to start with other preliminary basics almost. I mean, really, how do you shape this art scene? We were never in a rush. There was a lot of listening, working with others, and always, always having this element in mind that it's not to be in the world in Dubai, but it was always for Dubai and for the people and for the public. And always say we serve many publics of the city. And there was, we never, also there was not too much overthinking as to what impact we would like to make.
You left it quite open-ended, almost. It's important to do this, and then we see what happens.
It was about, can we just do what we do best? And as long as we are able to do that, then the rest is just noise. And so that was always our objective. How can we work with creative pioneers in film, art, music, literature, together, to enable them to realize their dreams and projects as a collective for the public, and just have that space that where organically this actually can flourish and that exchange can take place and create that synergy for knowledge sharing and build a community where culture is not only produced and consumed, but where it's debated. And that was really the key premise of what our objectives were. And we just continuously kind of go through those. Is it challenges? Is it kind of difficulties that we face? But also, we've collected this incredible collection of milestones. And it's so, I mean, for a moment, I had to think, this is so incredible to be sitting here and already revisiting the past 10 years. Like, where did the time go? And how much has changed in that decade? And of course, to get to the Al-Sirkal residency space, it was a journey. I mean, we started our homegrown program in 2015. And the idea was, what are the gaps that we could help narrow, that we could contribute, that we can support? And part of that artistic community and the artists that I knew that were based here, especially those that tried to explore difficult mediums, conceptual, moving image,
right,
especially mediums that were not easily supported by the commercial art scene.
Yeah.
We were like, we have to give them opportunities. That's how our homegrown program began. And then before you knew it, we worked with 18 artists from all over the world, primarily from Manas and local context, whom we commissioned to produce work within the public sphere of Al-Sirkal Avenue. And that evolved to become the residency that is now open to multidisciplinary practitioners to come and actually engage with the city. And we eliminated this pressure to produce. It's really the work or the notion of that kind of two-month cycle that you spend in the city of Dubai and in the neighborhood of Wukuz is that you engage with your own practice, is that you revisit your practice while you engage with the community here. And the idea is that we are that open space for multidisciplinary practitioners, so not only artists, but curators, urbanists, anthropologists, architects, etc., where we actually bridge those disciplines and create more of that exchange.
How do you see that evolving over the next 10 years, for example, the residency program? Do you have plans to expand that in any way? I mean, what you've just described is a fantastically diverse and eclectic lineup of creatives, not just artists, as you're saying. You know, you have thinkers, curators, and so on. How would you like to, in what direction would you like to take this program in the coming years?
I think as we revisit the changing landscape, cultural landscape of the UAE and the region, there was this, I think this year for us was a year of cultural audit. It's where, because the art scene is changing, you start asking yourself, what is our role? Because before we all had to do so much. I always say our galleries are the ones that built the art scene here because they were never just a commercial gallery. A lot of them spent the past decade being a museum space just as much as a commercial gallery, conducting lectures, welcoming educational kind of tours from different schools and universities. And so as we kind of reflect on the past, trying to predict the future, I think, is always such a difficult position. But I've been always insistent on creating our own paradigms and models that work here and work for us. We never resorted into kind of importing the Western thought or Western models in particular. We always tried to adapt what would work here. I mean, even if you look at what El Serkal Avenue is today, or you try to define it, it's a social enterprise, it's a neighborhood, it's a curated community that's become an arts organization that is owned by an Emirati family. It's just the entire model is so unique and so specific to this part of the world. And I think as long as we stay relevant to our audience, to the many publics that we serve, and also allow it to evolve and to become what it could become, I really think for the residency, we will not know a true impact till, I don't know, 10, 20 years from today. Even though I think we were surprised that we thought we'll only be able to welcome emerging talent, but the interest stems from mid-career practitioners, which surprises because there's so much curiosity around Dubai, around the city of Dubai, around this region. And artistic community from all over the world is curious and wants to be part of it. And for us, as El Serkal, as long as we are that incubator for experimentation, I think we'll continue to then test new ideas and respond to the current times. I mean, every art was once contemporary.
Absolutely. And I think an interesting point that you raise here is the audience, the nature of that. You said we serve many publics, and this touches on what we were discussing earlier, the diversity of the avenue today with so many different outlets, shops, the cinema and everything. I think one thing we can look back on over the last 10 years is that a major achievement of El Serkal Avenue is, I think, creating an audience, creating an art audience, people who wouldn't ordinarily have thought to engage with the arts or become part of it, but making it so accessible with the events that you do, the fairs, the, you know, all the special things that go on for families, kids and everything, that to me is one of the key achievements, because Dubai did not have this 10 years ago. There was very little that made art accessible. You've built this now big, diverse population who come here, who enjoy the numerous things that go on.
You know, you touch upon many publics. I observe the avenue and how it changes and how that space is socially produced through these publics that come to El Serkal Avenue. El Serkal Avenue at night is a very different space from morning or late afternoon. And I think that observation, kind of constantly watching how it changes and how we can respond or support a particular growth or community or audience, is always something that keeps me up at night. I mean, something interesting about community is that when you include someone, you always exclude someone. Those who've been excluded form a new community. And there's a kind of perpetual cycle of community creation and evolution. And we're always very cautious of that because we want to be as accessible as possible. But sometimes you do ask, are we really? And I think this is the next challenge for us. And I think as long as we keep those values and integrity and evolve with the public and try to be as accessible as possible and bridge those links amongst diverse communities of the city, we will stay relevant. Because I always say, if the audience is not here, then who are we doing it for? That's when we are not relevant anymore. So they are really why we're all here.
Abdul Monan, do you have any specific ambitions or goals for the whole El Serkal Avenue project over the next few years?
As a UAE national family, I personally and as a family, we are privileged that we are offering this to Dubai, to the residents of Dubai, to people that visit Dubai, to offer a site that is maybe not very well known. Dubai is not very well known for, And to me, it's very important to point that Vilma always brings, that we have given a platform for creatives, even in our team. The team that Vilma built is a team of UAE-based, all nationalities, but all Dubai-based. We did not give only a chance to the businesses of Asrkal Avenue, a platform for their creativity or for their entrepreneurship. We've given them a chance to show the world that Dubai has talent, that has talent that can achieve with a project like Asrkal Avenue. This is a pride to me and a privilege.
Excellent. Well, I think we can leave it there for now. Both Vilma and Abdulmonim, thank you so much for your time today.
It's not us. It's all of us together.
It's all of us together.
Thank you for being here.
And that was Abdulmonim bin Isa Al-Sakal and Vilma Yerkut in conversation. And I would like to thank them both very much for their time and sharing their insights with me. Well, that's a wrap for our two-part anniversary special. But I'd like to thank you for listening and ask, if possible, if you could share, like, and subscribe to this podcast at Apple Podcasts. And that really helps enormously with the ongoing production of this podcast project. But till next time then, it's goodbye from me, and we'll be back soon.